Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this morning's reading from Revelation, our Lord gives the Apostle John a vision of the saints in heaven. John describes for us what he sees, saying, "I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" As John takes in this glorious scene, he's asked a question. Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? John replies, "Sir, you know." And indeed, John's heavenly conversation partner does then proceed to answer the question that he had just asked John. This morning, I'd like for us to consider why the answer that he gave is so meaningful for us, and especially on today as we celebrate All Saints' Day. So, who is this great multitude that John sees, this host arrayed in white that we just sang about? In the words of our reading, who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come? Well, in the answer that John is given to that question, we are told first where this heavenly multitude has come from, and then second, who exactly they are, and how it is that they are now seen in such resplendent glory. So where have they come from? John is told, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. So what would that have meant to John? Well, John knew a thing or two about tribulation. Jesus himself had told John and the other disciples that as Jesus' followers, they would suffer real hardship, real tribulation in this world. Jesus said to his disciples, "In the world, you will have tribulation." And as John then saw and experienced, that tribulation was indeed sometimes great. By the time John wrote Revelation, he was the last of Jesus' original disciples still living, as all the other apostles had all been martyred, all killed for their dedication to Jesus Christ. And John himself was now in exile on the island of Patmos, sent into exile for his faithfulness to Christ and his commitment to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this tribulation was not limited to John and the other apostles. Throughout the churches, Christians were suffering real hardship for the faith, including both physical persecution, which had resulted in the deaths of many of the faithful, and also the social persecution of suffering hatred, ridicule, rejection from neighbors, friends, even family. That's why in the first chapter of Revelation, as John addressed the first century Christians that he would be sending this book to, he described himself as their partner in the tribulation that belongs to those in Christ. But now, in the vision that John describes in today's reading, he sees people coming out from that tribulation, coming out from tribulation and entering into glory. And more specifically, entering into the glory of the kingdom of God. As John says that he saw this multitude standing before the throne, that is the throne of God, and before the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that brings us to the second part of the answer that John received to the question of who these were clothed in white robes and where they had come from. Having first been told where they had come from, that they had come out from the great tribulation that this fallen world so often holds for those who follow Christ, John was then told more about just who exactly these people were, from which we also learn how it is that they are now seen in such radiant glory as John sees them. John is told they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is who the saints in heaven are. And that is why they are seen in such brilliant glory, such absolute purity. They are those whose sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. In this life, they had struggled with sin, just like we do, and had often failed in that struggle, just like we do. But with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death, Christ had paid the price for every one of those sins on the cross, and had then personally washed their sins away with the water and word of holy baptism, and with the powerful cleansing words of the gospel, by which all the benefits of Christ's saving death or apply to us personally. And that is why this great multitude of people from every nation now stood before the Lord without fear, in pure white robes, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. For they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The word saint means holy one. And here we are shown why the faithful in heaven can rightly be called saints, God's holy ones. They stand before God as his holy ones, pure and holy in his sight. Not because they had lived perfectly pure and holy lives, not because they hadn't sinned, but because all their sins had been washed away in Jesus' cleansing blood. A cleansing that they simply received as God's free gift to them and held on to by faith in him. They stand before the throne of God as his saints, not on the basis of their works, not because of anything they had done, but by God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. For as we read in 1 John, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hearing this explanation of what he was seeing could very well have taken John back to some other words that he had heard earlier from Jesus. When Jesus had told John and the other disciples that they would suffer tribulation as his followers in this world, Jesus hadn't stopped there. But he had said to them, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." The unbelieving world would give them tribulation, but the world would not be victorious over them. They, the followers of Christ, would in the end be victorious because Christ had won the victory for them. As he said, he had overcome the world. And indeed, Christ had overcome sin, death, and the devil, all the forces that oppose Christ and his people. Christ had overcome them all for us. And so in all things, these saints now in heaven were and are more than conquerors through Christ who loved them and saved them and gave them the victory. And that's why when John described himself to his fellow Christians as being their partner in tribulation, he also didn't stop there. Rather, he told them that he was their partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that belong to those in Christ. So, as we have seen, John is told who these are clothed in white robes and where they have come from. And then he's told what this new life that they have entered, the life of heaven, what that life will be like for them. John is told, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We don't know everything that we wish we knew about heaven, but here we are given a glimpse into what the saints in heaven, all the faithful who have gone before us in Christ, what they are now experiencing in heaven. That it is a life with no hunger or thirst, no suffering or pain, no sorrow or tears. It is a life of pure comfort, pure joy, and pure peace with each other and with the Lord at last and forevermore. And here we also catch a glimpse of just how much this all means to them. As John sees the saints in heaven, this host arrayed in white, he sees them standing before the throne and before the Lamb, calling out their praises, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What John sees here is the saints in heaven joyfully thanking and praising the Lord for saving them, praising him and acknowledging him as the source of their salvation, the source of the blessed life that they now have and will have forevermore. This all has special significance for us today in our celebration of All Saints' Day, as here we are given the comfort of knowing that in these verses, our Lord has graciously given us a picture of the life that is now being experienced by all of our loved ones who have gone before us in Christ and who now rest from their labors, of knowing that any suffering or hardship that they had in this life is no more, that never again shall they hunger, never again shall they thirst, that the Lamb who saved them is now caring for them as their good shepherd, and that God has wiped away every tear from their eyes. And so today we join the saints in heaven in thanking and praising God for the life that they now have in him. And we also have even more reason to thank and praise God today. For in these verses from Revelation, the Lord is not only speaking to us about the saints in heaven and the life that they now have, he is also speaking about us as his saints here on earth and the life that we now have in Jesus Christ. Remember what a saint is. The word saint means holy one. And as the Lord has shown us, that holiness before the Lord comes not from our works, not from anything that we do, but from having all of our sins washed away in Jesus' blood, exactly as the Lord has done for you. If we were to be judged on the basis of our thoughts, our words, our deeds, none of us would be found holy. As we confessed earlier, we are by nature sinful and unclean. We've sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, in what we've done and in what we've left undone. And this is most certainly true. But it is also most certainly true that Christ bore all of those sins to the cross and paid for them in full. And your sins were washed away personally as you were baptized into Christ. As we read in Galatians, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Your sins have been washed away, and in their place you have been covered in Christ's righteousness, clothed with Christ. And that means that in God's eyes, you are now holy. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, you are now his holy ones, his saints. Together with the saints in heaven, you are now fellow members with them in the communion of saints. And that also means that, as with the saints in heaven, new and everlasting life in Christ is now yours. A life lived in God's grace now, upheld and strengthened by him, with the full assurance of his forgiving love for you, and also the sure promise of a life in the glory of heaven that you can look forward to. A life where any suffering or tribulation that you have had in this life will be no more, never to return. A life where you will have perfect comfort, perfect joy, perfect peace, at last and forevermore. A life in the presence of loved ones who have gone before you in the faith, and life in the presence of the Lord, who loved you and gave himself for you, all so he could bring you there. So, just like our fellow saints in heaven, we lift up our voices to our great God as we laud and magnify his glorious name with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, thanking and praising our great God for the wonders that he has done. For washing our robes and making them white in the blood of the Lamb, for all the ways that he cares for us in this life, and for the promise of the life of the world to come, and for the manger, the cross, and the empty tomb, by which our Lord won the victory for us. For all of this, and for all the saints who from their labors rest, may the name of Jesus be forever blessed. Alleluia. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.